How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
So that's just a whole nother subject that's just blowing up now with the preventive use of SDF. So we have a long way to go with educating everyone, but it's so exciting to see that light bulb come on the minute you say, we're going to kill the root cause of the decay. It's pretty cool.
A lot of people could probably agree that there are a lot of people who don't want to go to the dentist. They have fears because of past bad experiences. So if we can create experiences that are fun, easy, and not scary, then we're creating patients for the future that will want to come and see us.
Think about the impact on their caries risk. How many clients are you even able to get in, regardless of how high they are on the risk scale? Very few clients, at least, you know, here in Canada. I don't know what it's like in the US, but, you know, to get in for four fluoride varnishes a year, that's not a common thing, even if you are pretty high on the risk scale.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists. This is your student-focused roundtable for the month. But before we get into the student roundtable, I want to give a huge shout out to Q Optics for their continued love and support of our dental hygiene students. You guys, if you have not looked up Q Optics yet, if you are not using Loops yet, you need to make that phone call. You need to send out that email. Every clinician should be wearing Loops. I was fortunate enough before this pandemic happened at Chicago Midwinter to be sized and measured for my Loops myself. And I love them. There are many designs, many different styles, many different options. And right now, because it's been a little bit since we've been in this pandemic, there are many manufacturers creating face shields specifically for use with Loops. And Q Optics is no exception. They have these amazing face shields designed for their Loops. So don't let the pandemic frighten you away from delivering optimal patient care by using your Loops. If you want to know more, check out qoptics.com. And thanks again to Q Optics for their continued support with our students.
Hey there, RDH students. When I think back on studying for my boards, I instantly feel that overwhelmed feeling that many of you may be experiencing right now. But don't be like me, because I personally did not attend any board reviews like the dental hygiene seminars, even though they were around back then. In fact, dental hygiene seminars has the longest track record in the board review business. They've been at it for 29 years with over 50,000 students attending and a 99.8% pass rate. Also, their speakers are educators, so they understand what your experience has been up to this point. You can learn more at dhseminars.com. And while you're there, go ahead and hit that register button. You won't regret being as prepared as possible for your national boards. So head over to dhseminars.com. Let's get into the student focus roundtable. So at the beginning of the student focus series, that you, this was your brainchild last year in 2019. Isn't that the year? Gosh, they're flying
back. It's the beginning of 2019. We're like, look, the students need a little bit more direction. We really value that. Like, we're so impressed you guys are even listening to this. Let's be honest.
It's so true. Yes.
So, like, let's give them something. They're taking the time to listen to us. Let's give them something that they actually could use.
And you came up with the idea of a round table, and we brought on different people that would talk about one particular topic. And then I kind of hijacked it for 2020 and made it a little more researchy, because that's what I do. But I hope that you guys find it helpful, because what we're aiming to do is bring on people who understand the topic and let them explain to you how they're looking at research and applying it clinically. Because what happens is we graduate with the knowledge we graduate with, and it might be a little It might not be as up to date, because they had to get you graduated, right? But there's stuff on like HPV that, you know, it's ever changing. And so we got to stay on top of that. And so we're going to bring the experts on so that we can teach you how to read the research and apply it to your patient care, so you can always be doing that up-to-date, evidence-based clinical practice that we talk about so much. And we hope you enjoy this student-focused episode.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah?
It's time for the interview.
Oh, but I had something else to say.
We need to let the experts talk now.
Fine. So welcome to the Student Focused Roundtable. We are always excited to have these because, one, I learn even something, even though I'm not a student. And I love to have a group of people on the podcast. And I am joined by some real smart chicas on this one. If you binge listen to this podcast, then you probably hear me say it on everyone. I'm like, oh, I'm just so excited. Everybody's so smart. And this is no different. So I want to welcome Kyle, Lisa, and Connie to the podcast. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. So I would love for you guys to introduce yourself and tell us a little something. I'm going to go in the order of people I can see on my screen. So Kyle, I'll let you go first.
Hi, my name's Kyle Isaacs. I'm in Oregon and I'm an expanded practice dental hygienist. I have been a dental hygienist for 38 years, which is hard to believe. So things have changed dramatically since I graduated from dental hygiene school. Right now, I'm working 4 days a week for an FQHC, which is a federally qualified health center. And what's really cool is I am working actually in the health center and can talk to the physicians. I can refer to them. They can refer to me. I can go talk to them. I'm writing a monthly column for them. So it's for the county. So anybody who works for the county. So it could be the janitor or the physicians, the nurses, the MAs, a wide variety, even the police officers will get this newsletter. And so I'm trying to teach people about the oral health. And in the past, I used to do mobile dental hygiene, but when COVID hit, I couldn't go to see patients in nursing homes. And I decided to pivot because I didn't want to have to deal with all the PP and extra precautions on my own. And I miss those patients, but that's just how life is sometimes. So I'm helping other people.
You're still helping. You're doing great things.
Yeah.
And then next on my screen is Connie Simmons. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, guys. So like you said, Connie Simmons, I've been a hygienist, 32 years now. I live currently in Central Florida. And this is my ninth state to be licensed in, guys. So if you are if you are going to get your dental hygiene license and you're thinking about moving, it can be done. I just followed my husband for 25 years of active duty Army service. So we're finished now, finally. So I did practice full-time clinically for 31 of those years. I now am a preventive care consultant here in Central Florida for Elevate Oral Care, who is the makers, the U.S. makers of Advantage Arrest Silver Diamine Fluoride, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So now I can not only touch those lives of those patients that I did for years, while I actually used Silver Diamine Fluoride for about 3.5 years in clinical practice before I started working for Elevate. So I do have a lot of practical knowledge in terms of how you guys are going to be able to use this amazing life-changing product in practice. But now I can touch all of the other lives as I'm seeing a different office every day and coaching teams how to best utilize this product in their practices. So it's loving it.
Such a good journey you have had.
And last, we have Lisa Hardo. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. So yes, as Michelle just mentioned, my name is Lisa Hardell, and I'm actually from Canada, Ontario, just north of Toronto. I've been a dental hygienist for over 17 years and actually spent, you know, seven of those years in public health. And that's where my first awareness really came to be around silver diamine fluoride. And that was actually in 2017. And I was doing some research at that time around bringing in potentially silver diamine fluoride into the health unit just because of the demands and the ongoing urgent needs that we were identifying, and just looking at this as such a huge opportunity to intervene at that earliest stage possible to manage caries, dental caries. So at that time, that's when kind of things changed a bit for me, and I actually started to work with a company called Oral Science here in Canada. And Oral Science is actually the unique distributors for Advantage Arrest for Elevate Oral Care, who Connie works for. Yeah, at that point, it was such a great opportunity to be more part of the just promotion, awareness, education of SDF. I felt like there was just going to be a larger role for me to play with this as far as, you know, changing focuses and leaving public health. And again, partnering with those really progressive offices, health units, clinics, hospital, anyone that's really, you know, looking to make a change with how they're managing caries and look at how SDF can be just a huge game changer for their practice. And yeah, so 3 years with Oral Science, and it's definitely going to be a great topic to talk about. And it just opens so many doors for providers in really so many practice environments.
So great. And so you might have heard on another podcast, if you followed my journey in Nicaragua, you heard me bring up Lisa, because Lisa was helping me a little bit with my use of SDF on my mission trip, which is, you know, it's just a very different environment. And I had only used it a little bit clinically, but my docs were mostly doing it. So sadly, I wasn't as hands-on. And so thank you. I still appreciate all your advice, because I think I even messaged you in the middle of Nicaragua. I was like, so this is happening.
I know. I remember that. And I was like, okay, I've got to confirm all this, you know, make sure I'm giving Michelle the most up-to-date, accurate information, and get that to her as soon as possible, because I knew, you know, just the situation you were in and the care that you were delivering there. So that was amazing.
No, it was so appreciative. So I want to ask you guys, and I would like each one of you to answer it. Even though SDF is one thing, I would love to know how you describe it to people. It's silver diamine fluoride, so you're going to hear us say SDF. But for our students that are kind of just getting into, you know, maybe they're early in their clinic and their didactic side of hygiene, or they're about to graduate or even new grads, like, how do you describe SDF to anybody that has not heard of it before?
That's a great question, Michelle. And for sure, just to kind of break it down in those initial conversations, I usually, you know, talk about obviously SDF, the active ingredient, you know, being the silver. And also, you know, there's not just the silver, the fluoride and the ammonia in the product. Obviously, that silver is what's binding to that cariogenic bacteria, or that's what's killing the active bacteria, you know, during the caries process. So as soon as a provider that you're speaking with understands kind of that role of the silver and how it's basically creating a really hard, dark, but hard surface that's definitely, you know, not as vulnerable to any sort of acid attack. So again, just kind of breaking down the active ingredient and really describing how that silver is inactive, or it's, you know, binding to that cariogenic bacteria that's responsible for the caries process and making that surface, you know, more resistant to further breakdown.
Kyle?
It depends on who I'm talking to, but if I am talking to my patients, I will tell them it's a medicine to help treat the cavities. If I'm talking to a dental professional, I'll say this is a similar way. It's a paradigm shift in the way we look at caries as a disease, and it's an infectious disease with that's multifactorial. So it just depends on who I am talking to. But if you tell patients it's a medicine, oftentimes they'll think, oh, a medicine. And I'll explain to them that it depends on where I am and who, you have to be careful. But with traditional dentistry, the drill and fill mentality, which we need to fill teeth sometimes, but it doesn't deal with the actual disease. So I explained this is another tool in our toolkit or an adjunct to help with that disease process.
Did you ever have to describe it to physicians?
I don't think I've ever had a physician, like I've done presentations. So I've had dentists, dental hygienists, and assistants in my audiences. And then I don't think yet, but that would be something interesting that I could write for my work about a little thing about silver diamine fluoride.
That'd be cool. And Connie, what's your way of describing it?
Well, since I'm in front of primarily dental professionals, funny, I'm going to kind of piggyback on what you were just talking to Kyle about in terms of medical offices. So as we are all familiar with actually fluoride varnish, sodium fluoride varnish, we also have a lot of cross customers through Elevate that are utilizing our fluoride varnish in their medical practice, their pediatric medical practices, because they're applying varnish now on the medical side, which is amazing. A lot of these kids don't have a dental home, so they're actually applying it in the physician's office. So it gives me an opportunity while I'm there talking about our varnish to kind of have that conversation about silver diamine fluoride and the importance of, like Kyle said, conventional dentistry allows us to chop off a part of the tooth and replace it with something to restore form and function. Never before have we had the opportunity to deal with the bacteria, the root cause of the decay. And that's what silver diamine fluoride does. It actually kills the bacteria that's causing the decay. So it's a win-win. We can harden that lesion. We can make it more resistant, but we're affecting the bacteria potentially of the entire mouth just by treating one tooth in a patient's mouth. So I usually start my conversations with that, but I also just make sure that I tell my dental professionals, you know, there's three main reasons why we use silver diamine fluoride. We use it to arrest decay. We use it to remineralize and desensitize, and we use it to prevent decay. And so that's just a whole nother subject that's just blowing up now with the preventive use of SDF. So we have a long way to go with educating everyone, but it's so exciting to see that light bulb come on the minute you say, we're going to kill the root cause of the decay. It's pretty cool.
I'm like constantly on looking for research on gingivitis and especially in older adults as well as perio. And so I have two articles that just came out and I connect with Steve periodically and say, hey, Steve, do you have anything new yet on such and such? Because I'll do my search and I can't find anything. And there was a clinical trial that was supposed to go on about gingivitis. Well, he sent me one. I was so excited. Texas A&M College of Dentistry did a 7-week study with elders 65 years and older for gingivitis. And it was compared to a saline. They had it applied once a week, I believe it was. It was a randomized controlled prospective double blinded in vivo study. One times a week for 3 consecutive weeks. They were tested at week 3, week 5, and week 7, and I saw some photos, and it was just amazing. So not only now, Connie, we'll be able to start saying not just caries, but gingivitis, as well as he also sent me one on perio. This article, and I can give you the links to both of these articles.
That'd be great.
Yeah. The antimicrobial activity of silver diamine fluoride on human periodontitis microbiota. And one of the cool things is they compared 19% and 38% silver diamine fluoride to, I believe it was just the control, which was water. And there wasn't significantly different for the two different SDF concentrations, but they were significantly different to the water for decreasing almost all the periodontal pathogens, but did not have an effect on the good bacteria. So I thought that was so cool. And I'm really excited about that. And they referred to another study with similar results. So hopefully both of those will have more. And in regards to like the elders, to me, it's a no-brainer. You have some, if they're not allergic to silver and they don't have pulpal involvement, why not do it? You know, it's cheap, easy. And these people are just really prone to caries.
Well, that kind of leads into the next question that I have that it's going to be a little trick question maybe, or a little hard to answer. At least I would probably have a hard time answering it. That's why I'm glad I'm hosting the podcast. But I'm curious. I mean, Connie, you alluded that this was a game changer. And I'm curious, what population or what situation or instance do you feel like this is the ultimate game changer for? Is it children? Is it elderly? Is it buccal root decay, like caries lesions? Like, what do you think is the, where is the ultimate goal game changer in regards to SDF?
You know, you mentioned those two age groups, and for me, it would be really hard to kind of say, you know what, it's that bigger game changer in the young pediatric versus the elderly, because I think equally so important in both of those environments. And I mean, everyone in between as well. There's those site specific, case specific situations that come up where SDF can just completely change those options that are readily available to a client sitting in the chair. But no, with the elderly, that long-term care environment where, you know, dexterity is an issue, the support staff is just not able to keep up with the day-to-day biofilm removal, I think to have, you know, a provider come in and have those regular assessments and look for those areas that are high risk or showing signs of caries. I mean, we know that it can reduce the incidence of future caries up to 50% in the elderly population. And smooth surface, you mentioned that again, Michelle, that, I mean, that's a great ideal surface that there's no issues with access. And, you know, that's where we also see some of the highest success is with some of those smooth surface caries. And again, with young children that are non-compliant, that are not going to, you know, sit through treatment. And there's maybe some fear with going under GA as far as, you know, parents' decisions at this point with even a child under the age of 3. And there's risk involved with that. So why not use something like SDF to manage caries and really prevent that more invasive treatment, potential extraction. And there's so many amazing, fairly straightforward and easy things that can be done to really mask some of that staining in the aesthetic zone. So, I mean, it can change the life of not just someone older, but someone very young as well that's dealing with current caries.
I'm going to piggyback on that. So my master's degree is in public health, focused on the aging population, so aged studies. And no one from the dental world had ever been part of this particular program at this school that I went. And so they were amazed. Every single course that I took, I could relate silverdiamine therapy. I wrote so many papers on silverdiamine and how it was used, not only in changing their quality of life. Yes, my heart is near and dear to the elder population, but I do want to add in, so the Federal Drug Administration here in the United States granted silverdiamine therapy. So most of you don't know that it actually isn't FDA approved for caries arrest. However, it is approved as a desensitizer, which is no different than the fluoride varnish that we use every single day. So we're using it off label.
I don't think people know that.
Yeah, exactly. Most offices, when I say, they're like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, you should look it up. It's real. So what the FDA did, though, was pretty amazing for Advantage Arrest. They came back in 2016, and we are the first dental device to ever get what's called breakthrough therapy designation. And this goes hand in hand with your question, Michelle, is that where is it most important? So what breakthrough therapy designation means, it means it's the FDA's effort to address an unmet, serious, life-threatening medical need where there are no available therapies. So just let that sink in for a minute. Life-threatening. So can we save a life, maybe of a 3-year-old that would have to go to the OR for ANJ occlusal? Or could we offer them silverdiamine therapy and actually let them grow up in our practice a few years, maybe until we do a conventional restoration? Or what about that 87-year-old that you have in your chair that they can't undergo local anesthesia? Or the fearful patient that for some reason just cannot fathom doing
anything without some sedation. What about that patient? Every single time we're talking about sedation, we're talking about risk versus benefit. So if we can offer a therapy now that we can treat these patients, we're saving lives. And that's why we came into this profession in the first place. So yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
I wanted to say also to add to that, my first reaction was it's for everybody. And it's really hard to choose because it is with children. A lot of people could probably agree that there are a lot of people who don't want to go to the dentist. They have fears because of past bad experiences. So if we can create experiences that are fun, easy, and not scary, then we're creating patients for the future that will want to come and see us. For the elders, as Connie and Lisa already said, and I've been to many nursing homes, dementia care facilities, and I see what can happen when someone can no longer take care of themselves. It can be a matter of weeks or months before destruction takes place. It's really quick. So something like SDF can be a game changer. And then we've got our intellectual and developmentally disabled population, as well as I've used it on people with Sjogren syndrome, huge game changer for them. And then of course, people who are low income.
And I will say I was using it, well, at least my way of integrating it into my public health facility. Not that anybody would ever push back on it, but it was really difficult to not pick up the drill, right? Like that was their first thing. Like, I don't want to, and I'm like, but wait, wouldn't this have been a good SDF candidate? But the what did it for me was third molars on adult patients. And mostly, and I'm talking not like 20 something, I'm talking like 60 year olds that had a ton of other health issues, a lot of comorbidities, that were on a lot of medications. They didn't have a opposing third molar, or it was a third molar coming in or like, you know, came in not in the occlusal plane, and they were getting decays. And I'm like, you know, you don't want to get by there with a drill. Liz, I'll be honest. You know, you don't want to do that. So let me just go ahead and put some SDF on this bad boy and we'll just bring him back. And like, that was my foot in the door. Cause I was like, do you want to get back there with a drill? I know you don't. So let me just knock this out with some SDF. So that kind of leads me into, I want to talk about like, how do you integrate this into a practice? But I would love to also, cause I don't want to step over this very important part because people are going to be like, what is an SDF? What is it? Like, is it a liquid? Is it a gel? What am I doing here with this? So how would you describe SDF and its like application?
We break it down. We actually have, when we go in, we actually have visuals, or we have our PowerPoint pulled up so that people can actually see the ingredients. And then we kind of break down what those ingredients do. So it is a clear solution that we have tinted now. Advantage Arrest is
tinted. Isn't it blue now?
It is, but it's still clear, but it is blue tinted. So I always start off with, it looks like Windex and it smells like Windex. It's 62% water, 25% silver, 8% diamine, which is the ammonia, which is the solvent that's used to carry the product, 5% fluoride, which by the way, is 44,800 parts per million fluoride. So it is the strongest topical fluoride that we are applying in dentistry, but we're not applying it to full mouth. We are site specific. There isn't an issue with over ingestion of the fluoride, because you're going to hear about the amount that we use is just crazy ridiculous. And then less than 1% of blue dye, so that now we can actually visually see it. You can see it pulling in a lesion. And I just say it's a miracle liquid that we can paint on, leave it in contact with the tooth for a minute. If we can leave it there for a minute, that's ideal, and let it do its magic. So it's really as easy as drying and applying, and that's it. I mean, it's not brain surgery by any means.
And I've always applied it with the little cotton, like the micro brushes with like the cotton ball. Not, if it's not cotton, I don't even know what those are. If you've been in dentistry long enough, you either got the brush or you got this like cotton ball thing on the end of Obviously, I do a lot of restorative.
It's a micro brush and they come in different sizes, which I find is really good because if you have a really tiny spot, you can use a really small one, or I've been able to like get it into the interproximal area or nephrocation by using a smaller one. But the other thing is with COVID, if you want to do something that's with no aerosols, you could potentially just use gauze to dry it off. So that has been great for people who don't want to create any aerosols. But normally you would dry it with the air.
I actually have provider offices that still tell me that they absolutely are not picking up a handpiece. They're being super cautious and they are treating everyone with sulfadiamine therapy. They're drying with gauze. You know, they're cleaning maybe with a toothbrush to get off rough plaque. They're drying with gauze. They're applying and they're sopping up the extra with gauze or a cotton roll and calling it a day so that whenever things do get a little bit more back to normal, hopefully, and they can come back and then and restore on the end if the patient doesn't like the darkness. But again, what a service. We're treating the decay. We're making it hard. We're keeping it from progressing into the nerve of the tooth so that that patient, now we can preserve that overall oral body health because we haven't had a carious lesion that has progressed into the nerve. So it's pretty amazing how many providers are just really, really adapting to the use of SDF.
Yeah, I agree with that, Connie. And definitely here in Canada, Ontario, and I know other provinces, there was a time and even still, you know, now with some certain communities or providers, SDF has been, it's been such a solution for them. It's just been a treatment that they felt comfortable using in a time where there's been so much uncertainty. I think it's allowed patients to definitely feel more safe in the operatory, depending on what's going on. And, you know, you hit it right on the head there when you said, like, this is allowed dentists, hygienists, oral healthcare providers to treat caries and not create any aerosols if deemed, you know, not necessary or really not, you know, something they want to be doing right now, more looking at the safety. So it's been amazing. And that's only going to continue with certain protocols into the future, right?
Yeah. And it falls under your substitution in the hierarchy of controls. If anybody is keeping up with Dental Infection Control Awareness Month, we have 5 controls and it's, you know, we have to eliminate, but you can substitute if you can't fully eliminate the risk from your practice. And you can substitute, and it's such a great tool. And I'd like to think that our profession is going to move away where it doesn't feel like it's substituting for a lesser than service, like that it is equal or better in a lot of cases. So it's not a substitute to drill and fill kind of situation. So I know a lot of times the question is, well, what about the hole? Don't we leave a hole in the tooth? Like, what happens? What's the deal with the hole or the cavitation?
You mean after you've applied SDF? It doesn't replace form and function, but you don't have to fill it. The thing is, if you have a hole on the occlusal surface or in a place that's hard to clean, you know, there is always that possibility that food's going to get caught in there. And maybe in areas that the SDF didn't get in, you know, maybe that you can get decay. So you can fill it with a glass ionomer cement, which is what we call the SMART or silver modified art. So that's a traumatic restorative treatment. And then you get the benefit of the glass ionomer too, which is really cool with the fluoride release when there's an acid challenge. But yeah, you don't have to. And I have plenty of elders that I applied it to that didn't have anything else. And every time I checked the areas that I could see, they were hard.
Lisa, did you have anything that you wanted to throw in there?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it really depends on the site, right, being treated. I think that there's definitely many times where, you know, those regular visits, whether it's every 3, 6, 9 months, you know, you're assessing, you're managing, you're reapplying. They're focusing on those areas where maybe the SDF has been applied with their home care and that surface can really be maintained and we're not seeing that reoccurring caries development. But for sure, those larger areas where there's a lot of tooth structure that's lost, that's, you know, what Kyle mentioned there with doing like a glass ionomer. And, you know, there's something called the sandwich technique where for sure it can be followed with a glass ionomer. And again, that can really help in, again, some of those aesthetic zones where you want to mask some of the staining. And then again, rebuild some of that tooth structure where you're not getting that food trapping and potentially that area then, you know, some reoccurring decay happening there. But yeah, I think it really depends on, there's so many factors to consider with the client, with their access to care, with, you know, what other tools or treatment options do you have available? But yeah, it really depends on the surface and the tooth that you're dealing with.
Sometimes it just comes down to having that conversation with that patient. And I tell providers, we have three options after SDF. We have continue to apply it if it's not affecting form or function of the tooth. If it's a small little pit at a furcation that isn't accessible, reapply SDF every 6 months and drive on. You can clean up the margins a little and flow something in, or you could absolutely remove every bit of staining and flow something in. But you have to have that conversation with the patient. What is your aesthetic outcome? What do you want or need this tooth to look like at the end? And a lot of times, like Kyle said, on our older patients, they'll just come right out and say, well, am I going to see it? And I'll say, I don't know. Are you going to like be upside down with the flashlight in a mirror looking at the backside of tooth number 15, right? If you're not, then you absolutely aren't going to see it. And if it's not a food impaction area, then let silver diamine therapy be exposed in the mouth. So now that silver ion is available to continue up to 6 months, silver continues to be released out of that lesion and affecting all of that other bacteria in the mouth. So if it's able to be left not covered, that's really the ideal situation with silver diamine fluoride.
And I was going to say, Connie, that's where we see that zombie effect, right? Where your, you know, silver ion is killing that bacteria. And then we then start to see that dead bacteria, it gets reactivated, right, by the silver. And then it's killing other bacteria in the mouth, keratogenic bacteria. So exactly like you said, if it can remain exposed and that silver ion can continue to do its thing, right, in the oral cavity, that's where you're going to for sure have the best outcome.
Absolutely.
I got a pushback one time from a dental student about the zombie effect. I guess they had just had a lunch and learn and they were super smart about it. And, you know, we're all Dunning-Kruger effect after lunch and learn. But they were like, what about the zombie effect? And I like, we don't want to do it because we don't know if they have other lesions. I was like, well, but wouldn't we want to know? Like, and what a great way to figure out where other lesions are that we need to be concerned about. Like, I get it. Like, if I was doing this in, you know, on a 30-year-old model, like, I'd probably be a little more concerned. Like, they're going out there using their smile for their job. But like the average person that is having an issue or has a high camera risk, I'm like, zombie effect away. Eat them up. Tell me later.
And that's where we see one site, right, treated with SDF is equivalent to 4 fluoride varnishes a year. So that in itself can have, think about the impact on their caries risk. How many clients are you even able to get in, regardless of how high they are on the risk scale? Very few clients, at least, you know, here in Canada. I don't know what it's like in the US, but, you know, to get in for 4 fluoride varnishes a year, that's not a common thing, even if you are pretty high on the risk scale.
What a lot of people don't realize is that you heard me say the three areas that we use it. When we use it as a desensitizer, it is hands down the best clinical desensitizer I have ever used. SDF does not stain healthy tooth structure. So if it is healthy enamel or healthy dentin, you can utilize silver diamine fluoride on those class 5 really, really sensitive lesions, and it is not going to stain. I have it myself on my premolars on both sides where I have about a millimeter of recession, and I reapply it every 6 months. Those areas stay not cold sensitive, not sweet sensitive, and you can use it chair side. A lot of people just don't realize, why do I want a whole tooth black? It does not affect it. Now, I always have the conversation that, hey, Mrs. Jones, you have a root here that's exposed, that isn't normally exposed. The doctor and I have taken a look at this area. We don't see anything or feel anything that is soft and sticky.
However, I'm going to apply this medication that's going to help to desensitize and harden this area. If there is something super, super early, there's a chance that it could discolor from slightly to severe, depending on how much damage. Is it still okay that I use it? And it always goes back to, is the tooth going to feel better? Yes. Am I going to see it? Are you going to look at the backside of that tooth? No. Then let's use it. And usually they're just fine with moving forward with it.
So I have one question to like kind of close this out, because I'm really curious. Now, if we have students, maybe two questions. Can hygienists place this in almost all states?
Yes. I think the only one right now, and I might be wrong, Connie, but the last I heard was Ohio, because they had to take a course. I don't know if that course has happened yet, because I know Steve asked me for a video for that, and I did a video and sent it to him, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet.
So funny you should ask that, Kyle. So Kelly is the rep in Ohio, and she actually has taken on giving that course. So she has a course scheduled for, I don't know, maybe like 1,000 hygienists in Ohio. And she called me and asked me to send her your videos, your application videos. So she's incorporating that into her PowerPoint. And yes, they have to take a course in Ohio, but most states hygienists are allowed, dentist and hygienist. And there's even some states that are allowing expanded duty assistants to apply it as well, depending on how you read into the laws, which always we should abide by our state practice guidelines. But if they're allowed to apply topical fluoride agents, STF is a topical fluoride agent. Actually, we haven't talked about this, but come 2021, we now have a prevention code coming out for silver diamine therapy. Up until now, we've only had D1354, which is the interim use of a medication to treat caries. Come January, we just got passed the code actually to use SDF preventively. So now we actually have an actual procedure code that matches all of those times when we're using SDF for prevention. In our practice, we treated incipient lesions with SDF. We got rid of the word watch. We weren't going to watch a lesion get bigger. We treated. So now we're going to have a procedure code that actually matches what we're doing, which is what our goal is anytime that we're talking about doing a particular procedure. So it's coming. We're excited about it.
I also apply it to like the crown margins, especially on my elder patients, furcations, places like that. But the other thing I wanted to mention is it's so easy to make an assumption that people aren't going to want to do it because of the blacks. So one of the things that I think is so important is that we give all the options to our patients. And I know you mentioned it earlier, Connie, but I think dentists are, I mean, it comes to perio too. I think we all know that, like, oh, I don't want them to feel bad, or I don't want them to have to spend a lot of money. Or so maybe they're thinking, oh, I don't want black on my teeth. But how can people make informed consent, you know, informed decisions and consent to treatment if we don't give them all the options? So I think it's really important that we utilize SDF as one of another tool so that people do have all the options.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Kyle. And it's interesting that both of you ladies brought that up, because that was definitely a paragraph or so in the article that I had published in RDH magazine just this summer. So for sure, how can any provider get true informed consent without laying all the options on the table? And you're right, we cannot make assumptions. We never know who's going to walk through those practice or those clinic doors or what someone's situation is. And we don't know what their preference is, right? So we owe it to our clients to give them all the different treatment options. And I think a lot of providers, when they take that approach, they're pleasantly surprised that many are very open to it. And there's also been studies showing, you know, parents are actually more open to it for their younger children as well, right? And the staining isn't such, it's not such an issue. They're more concerned about other things, you know, such as invasive GA and all that sort of invasive treatment or going under general sedation, that this is something actually a lot of parents are quite open to. So yeah, I think we all probably feel very similar about that.
And my last question is, I think that everybody can hear the benefits to the patient, but what are the benefits to the practice for using SDF?
I'll just say that for the first time ever, we actually have a medication that we can utilize for caries arrest at the hygiene appointment.
So some places where that's super important, maybe those patients that you know are not going to come back in for conventional dentistry for whatever reason. They don't have the finances. It's a getting off work issue. It's a, I don't believe in restoring baby teeth. How about having that conversation right now at the hygiene appointment that we're going to apply a medication that's going to keep these areas from getting any worse so that when you do come back and see the doctor, which is always our hopes, now we can actually do something to make those areas look better. But in the meantime, it's not going to get any worse. So never, ever in dentistry have we had the option of beginning the caries arrest procedure and the antimicrobial, which is what we've been talking about so much, for that patient at time of diagnosis. So it doesn't have to be the end all be all, but what a great start that we're giving these patients until they do come back in and see you in a week or two. What a great start that we're giving them in terms of the antimicrobial effect of SDF.
It's a practice builder. I've talked to a lot of hygienists who say, oh, my dentist won't let me use this. Maybe they're concerned because it's not FDA approved for caries arrest, or maybe because they just don't know about it, or maybe they're afraid that they're going to, it's going to affect their bottom line. But all the dentists I know that use it a lot, their bottom line goes up. They are making more money. They can utilize their hygienists and their assistants to apply it. And then they can utilize their time to do more expensive aesthetic and other types of treatments. You're creating patients who are not going to be fearful. So to me, as a business aspect, it's a practice builder.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. And obviously here in Canada, you know, the Health Canada indication is it is an anti-caries arresting agent for both primary and permanent teeth. That's very clear. So I think as a provider, when you have that sort of indication from Health Canada, I mean, to me, it's when I talk to other dentists or other hygienists and dentists, this is something they need to have at their fingertips, right? To me, it's really not an option. To meet the needs of some of those clients, this is something they want to have in their operatory. And exactly as you both indicated, like this is a huge practice builder. It shows the clients that the office is very preventative driven and they've got the newest research-based options available for their clients. So for sure, I think anyone that's open to learning, this is going to be part of their treatment regimen, right? In some situations, for sure.
A lot of providers who have embraced the therapy have said, okay, so maybe I'm not getting the pulp and the stainless steel crown on Johnny. So maybe I have arrested that lesion and kept them from needing more invasive therapy. And I have people who say, well, why would I want to do something that's going to take money out of the practice's pocket? Okay, so first, why did you come into healthcare? And second, what about now that you've done for Johnny? So now what's going to happen? He had a really, really good experience with silverdiamine. He's happy. The family's happy. You're going to get referrals of more family members, which mean more friend members. And Dr. Jeanette McLean in Arizona, who's a big proponent of silverdiamine therapy, said, if anything, her practice just blew up with new patients. As she started saying, more and more people are coming for silver. They're calling me and saying, hey, we heard you're the dentist who's using it. We haven't been able to find anyone. So I think as it becomes more commonplace, just more people are just going to embrace, hey, these people really care about what services they're providing their patients. And it's a good office.
I agree. I think that people should be marketing it like that. We offer this in our office. I mean, and if you are a student that's graduating and you know how to do social, like be the social media champion and like hear all these things, I know sometimes it's a little frustrating when you have newbies come in because I got to even watch myself because I am way too informed with this podcast. So I always walk in and I'm like, oh, are y'all doing teledentistry? Are you doing silver diamond fluoride? Are you like, and they're like, I'm sorry. Who are you again?
Who are you?
can I like take a breath? Take a breath, lady. Yeah, don't like freak out the office that you go into, but I hope you're hearing all the opportunities that you could, all the ways you can offer new innovative approaches to marketing and to patient care. And it's not marketing of like a practice builder. Yeah, of course, we all got to pay our bills. But like Connie said, like, number one, why'd you go to healthcare? Like you're helping people. You're making their lives better. So I really want to say thank you guys so much. As usual, I had no doubt we would fill the 30 minutes and then some. This is such a hot topic. If you want to learn more about SDF, you should check out definitely Elevate site. We have some tipisodes coming from Elevate, and lots of stuff. And we can actually probably Google Kyle, Lisa, and Connie at any time and find some articles and some information on that. Is there anything that you guys would like to share specifically, contact information, websites, articles, anything like that?
I'll just say, so like Michelle said, just log on to elevateoralcare.com. If there's not one of us, even in your school setting, guys, if you are in hygiene school right now, you need to have information about silverdiamine therapy. So if we have a local rep in your state or in your area, we will happily come in and talk to everyone about silverdiamine. Sometimes they work it into their public health course, depending on where they want it in the curriculum. But ask for it. Ask your program directors, can we have someone? If there's not someone there, we actually have professionals, hygienists, who are electronic preventive care consultants who will do a live webinar, the same as we're doing, and just they'll just work through silverdiamine therapy so that you can see it on the big screen. So I would encourage you to have your program director or some of your instructors to ask for us to come in, and we're considered the prevention experts for a reason, and we want to share this important information with you as you're learning everything else.
I don't remember the date, but I did write an article in RDH magazine about using it in the nursing homes. And then I do have the video. There might be two videos also on the Elevate. What are they called? Number 8.
The Silver Bulletin.
Yeah, the Silver Bulletin, number 8. I think they're both there. So you can access those if you want to see how I applied it. It was quite interesting. My patient, who is no longer alive, because that's what happens when they're older. I know it's sad. But just before I started, she started going, oh, and I thought, oh no, that people are going to think I'm hurting her. But she was just, you know, that's how she was.
Yeah. And I'll just add there for sure. There's a wealth of information. I love the Elevate Oral Care website. I think every time I go on there, I learn something myself. Obviously, any Canadians that are listening, there is a wealth of information on Oral Sciences website. We share a lot that Elevate sends our way as well. And we have a blog. I actually did an interview with a dentist that is her perspective on how it changed her practice. And that interview is on the Oral Science website. So it's really neat to kind of hear how, you know, her perspective a year later, and just looking at how it's changed her whole practice philosophy. Yeah, I mean, Dr. Jeanette McLean, Connie mentioned her, even if you just Google her name, so many amazing videos, articles come up, Dr. Jeremy Horst. And I do have a few pieces too linked to my Strictly Dental Pro website. So there's a ton out there online on SDF for students. And it's probably more than enough to become very comfortable in just all the many ways to use it.
I just want to say one more thing. I did do some research. I'm trying to find some information on using it for cancer patients. And so far, I can only find information post-treatment. I was hoping that there would be something out there on before cancer treatment and maybe even during. The only thing I found was from Canada, the Canadian Dental Association, 2 different dentists, and I just cannot remember their names. It was Oasis something or another, and how they've been using it post cancer treatments. So there's that as well. I can get you the link to that, but if anybody knows during or before treatment, I'm having a hard time finding anything for that at this point.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I'm sure everyone learned so much. If you heard about silverdiamine fluoride, maybe you're a longtime hygienist and you're like, oh yeah, I should look back into that. Please do. It is an absolute game changer. And I just thank you guys for sharing your time and your expertise with everyone today. I told y'all I have some smart ladies on today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Michelle.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
We hope you guys enjoyed this roundtable. Thank you to our guests for bringing all their advice and their research that they found for us. And again, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook. You can always go to our website, attila2hygienist.com. We would love your feedback. And don't forget to share this episode and rate and review us on any of your listening apps.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, y'all.